John Walker Lind, the American Taliban, who was captured during the invasion of Afghanistan in the fall of 2001, was released this morning from a federal prison in Indiana. According to his lawyer, the former Marin County resident will now live in Virginia while on probation for the next 3 years. For a closer look at this story, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Karen Greenberg, director of the Center on National Security at the Fordham Law School and author of the book Rogue Justice, The Making of the Security State, which focused on Lynn's case. Thank you for joining us this morning. Some have argued, in fact, some are still arguing this morning, that he should be spending more time in prison. What are your thoughts on this issue?
Yeah, no, I think that like any other person who's convicted of a crime, they should serve their time and then be able to get out. And the same thing with John Walker Lind. He does have, as you say, restrictions when he gets out, 3 years of supervised probation, which is rather stringent, actually. And so, yes, I think that he should be allowed to live his life.
The questions about the Lind case remain puzzling to a lot of people. How did a teenage kid from Marin County become radicalized, wind up fighting with the Taliban, and what has happened since then that would make people believe he'll be different in the future?
Well, you know, at his sentencing hearing, he gave a long, impassioned speech about his regrets for what he'd done, his understanding that it had been wrong. And so, you know, that was the last public statement he made. Since then, there have been recently, last night, there were released some letters by NBC News of things that he had written while in prison 4 years ago, you know, saying that he supported ISIS. But there's a big difference between what you say and what you do. But there is a discomfort. I think what John Walker Lind wants is to live a life of a devout Muslim. He's been dedicated to this since before he went abroad until he came back. And my guess is that's what he'll do now. And if he takes steps, active steps, and commits any kind of act of violence, then that'll be another story. But for now, there's no reason to condemn him. We should let him go and live his life.
Because of these pro-ISIS statements that were made in letters that he wrote while in prison, will he be receiving extra attention?
Well, it's hard to imagine extra. It's by who? In terms of by the authorities, that attention is intense. You know, he's not allowed to be on the internet. He's not allowed to have internet-related devices. He's not allowed to travel. He's not out of the country. He's not allowed to have a passport. I mean, I think it's going to be intense anyway. They're keeping him in Virginia, where he was tried, instead of returning him to Marin County. So I think all of this suggests incredibly intense supervision. And I think they're serious about the supervision of John Walker Lind, which, by the way, they are of many terrorism convicts who get out. More and more, there are these strong restrictions placed on them, at least for a few years.
Well, that kind of leads to my next question. Is he an isolated case? I mean, he's gotten so much attention, obviously, because of the trappings of the story. Are there others like him or being watched in the same way?
Well, I want to distinguish there. There are others that are being watched in the same way, particularly some of the recent ISIS cases, individuals, young men who wanted to go abroad, and women who wanted to go abroad to join ISIS and were caught either here at the airport or there and brought back. And they do have some very severe restrictions, so it's not unusual. But that's a different question than is his case unusual. And I think in some ways it is. You know, John Walker Lind went abroad as a religious seeker, in a way, well before 9/11, found his way to Afghanistan from what we know, from what's been reported publicly. He found his way there because he was identifying with oppressed Muslims, kind of a pan-Muslim unity. And then we don't know a lot about what happened thereafter, partly because so much of this has been classified, kept secret. He never did have a trial. And so in that way, I think, given the time and his intentions in going over there, he may be very different than these others.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Karen Greenberg, director of the Center on National Security at the Fordham Law School and author of the book Rogue Justice, The Making of the Security State.